The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to March 2006.
The university chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors and special junior faculty in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we do have three of our regular panel and a special visiting professor. So let me introduce the panel to you. To my right, from the College of Engineering and Science, the coordinator of its pre-college engineering programs, it's Dan, the Dapset Man Maggio.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey, so how's your program going now? Would you be meeting this week?
We start tomorrow.
Oh my goodness, you got a big day tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're going to be out there directing traffic in your windbreaker as usual?
It's beautifully clear. The sun is gorgeous.
If it's like this tomorrow, I'll be very happy.
Yeah, I mean, at least if you get a bit of sunshine,
yeah,
you know, that's
chilly.
Not too bad.
Like
but wear your woolies, Dan. Oh yeah.
I'll be dressed up.
Now, sitting next to Dan, our junior visiting professor, someone who helped me with the queue up today, he counted down perfectly to five. A chip off the old media block. It's Professor Dylan Kurtzinger. The media block, yes.
What's media stand for?
Uh-oh.
Media, there's like radio, television.
Vision.
Oh, okay, now I get it now.
It was not an insult, love. You're okay, you're fine. Now, sitting next to visiting Professor Dylan is the block of media here himself, Professor Jerry Kurtzinger.
I'm often blocked media, I think.
Oh, you know, no, don't say that.
No. Or actually, one of the questions is, I drew this triangle on the board.
Oh, okay.
I said, we have media in this corner, we have reality here. Now, what do we have at the other end of the triangle? Well, it's media constructed.
Sure,
reality,
right.
Is what the answer is. It's just, you know, I'm going to wait to see what they say.
I was going to say, you're leaving it wide open, babe. Good for you.
Well, I like to write. I was talking to Edwin about like some of the multiple choice ones where you write like Picnic in Belle Isle.
Oh, well, yeah, one of Edwin's favorite is, this period of Greek history, the best, you know, the greatest philosopher of that era, and he'll, you know, list like Plato or Socrates, but then he'll throw in things like Zorba the Greek.
Yeah.
And people will actually answer Zorba the Greek.
Yeah, I know. It's just.
That
was that was my greatest, was on Breathless. I wrote the Jean-Paul Belmondo character is modeled after, like, you know, John Wayne and stuff like
this,
totally. Or you know, Bogart, which is the correct answer. And then I wrote Harvey Keitel, who would have been about 5 or 7 years old or something.
What?
And Laura goes to me, she says, no one's going to pick that. And I go, you watch. I'll bring you these tests.
Watch.
And a few,
watch.
Harvey Keitel.
I had a true-false question that read, much of what we know about Socrates comes from his autobiography, I, Socrates.
Cool.
Lots of folks marked it true.
You got to be kidding.
I'm not.
I, Socrates. Okay. Well, that was the voice of the chair of the philosophy department, who's going to know so much about Socrates after she grades 80 papers dealing with Socrates this week. It's Professor Beth Aljar.
I'm going to hear a lot about the unexamined life not being worth living.
The unexamined life.
Beth, they've all watched all 13 episodes of I, Claudius. That's why they were confused.
Right.
They don't know who that is either.
Jerry, it's
shortstop for the Mets. Claudius.
Well, how can you send us questions about media, about Socrates, about engineering, about anything?
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
And we're going to start off with a set of questions from Ted Mayer that came via email, so I don't know the location. I don't know where Ted is from.
Is this his first set he sent? The name doesn't sound
familiar. So I'm thinking that's it. I downloaded these from our website, so I,
cool.
So, Ted, I'm going to have to email you back, you know, to find out how to send you your T-shirt. You know, you didn't even give
it. It's kind of hard to email a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's what I always ask people. If you're going to send us questions, please put a mailing address down because I need to know where to send the prize, you know.
Cyberspace is only virtual.
Yeah, right. You know, I have never been able to send a virtual T-shirt out yet. I'm trying, but I just can't seem to get the link.
When I was a very little boy, they had this program on called Bill Kennedy.
Bill Kennedy Showtime.
And I was, I was home one day. He had some questions or something, if you knew the answer. So I wrote down the answer. I put an envelope, and I was trying to stick it in the – I was like three. So I was trying to stick it in the back of the – what are you doing?
Back of the television.
Well, he said to send a letter.
I didn't know
that Bill Kennedy was in what film? Dark Victory with Bette Davis. That's his huge claim to fame. Whenever he would show that film, he would have this huge picture of Bette Davis behind, you know, where he was sitting, where his chair and that. And he says like three lines in the whole film. Watch for me in this film. I was like, okay, Bill,
but he was
got
in a movie.
It's
kind of
like
Davis.
Hitchcock in a Hitchcock film.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Your eyes
like
is
you're just keeping your eyes out for him. So these questions from Ted deal with water trivia.
Okay.
Water.
Water.
Who's my own here?
Yeah, I know. I'm like looking at this thinking like,
H2O.
H2O in
that way.
Do we know
the chemical composition? I got that down.
Okay, I was going to say that one we've got. But this is kind of, these kind of go all over about water. Okay, so let's see how many are there because, again, he didn't set any. He think we got like 50 questions on water.
50?
So, yeah, 50 water questions. Well, you know, you think about it, water is part of our existence, is it not?
Most
and
of the planet is covered
and
with it.
And being here in the Great Lakes, where, and you also from Pennsylvania growing up in Erie, weren't you a little water baby when you were in Erie? Didn't you go to the lake a lot?
I did, quite a bit,
I was
yes. going
to say, yeah, all right. How much water does it take to process a quarter pound of hamburger?
How much does it take to process?
To process a quarter pound of hamburger. I'm reading it exactly as it's
you
written
could.
Here. But
I would say...
packing joints.
Yeah, I was going to say, right. I'm thinking, isn't that more of like...
I would say a cup.
That's actually low.
So this is for what, a pound or a quarter pound?
A quarter pound of hamburger.
Like 2 gallons or something.
Not 2 gallons.
A gallon.
Wow. 1 gallon.
What are you doing when you process?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I don't understand the question.
Don't want to know the details.
And I was going to say, I don't think I want to understand the question if it's...
Yeah, you can go to one of those plants or something.
No, but I mean, I'm thinking like at Miller's, okay, in Michigan Avenue, which has a killer ground round, which is usually a quarter pounder size, and they use... A water. I mean, you're right. It has to be the processing.
It's got to be like the plant or something like that.
And you're right. Don't want to know. How much water does it take to make 4 new tires? This is a lot of water. It's rated in gallons.
14.
Oh no! I mean, hon, we're talking lots.
120.
Way more.
560.
Way more.
No wonder they
4,900.
So
that's too hard. But cut that kind of in half.
2,500.
2,072.
Wow.
2,072 gallons of water.
Why
do
those tires cost so much money?
I was going to say, like, I wonder what that is, like a cooling process with water?
For the rubber?
It must be. It has to be.
I don't know how tires are made, so.
Me neither. I would have thought it would have been involved a mold.
Yeah, that's what I would have.
Liquid rubber, but.
Yeah, exactly, but.
What do I know?
Okay. What are the three forms that water occurs in?
Ice.
Okay, which is frozen, solid.
Steam.
And
gaseous,
then
yeah.
Liquid?
Yeah, liquid. Yeah. So, liquid, solid, and gaseous. Yes, indeed. True or false?
True.
False.
Well, I mean, I don't have any better chance answering it now.
Water
than
is the only substance found on Earth naturally in these three forms.
Yes, true.
Do we have a consensus?
I'm going true.
Yeah, it is. It is true.
Sounds reasonable.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Antarctica, that's ice. The oceans are like water, and there's got to be some gas floating around somewhere, or we'd all be dead like dogs here right now, right? So,
there's still water in your car in the winter.
There's water right now in front of us in the
air.
That's
right, and yeah, that's it.
In gaseous form.
Yes, gaseous. Yeah.
Gaseous.
No, and I remember in school in Ireland, like aluminium was one of those words that it took you time to realize it meant aluminum.
Oh, yeah.
But when the professor would talk about gaseous states, and we were like, what is he saying? And so someone
and
wrote
the
it down
aluminium.
For it. Yeah, the aluminium.
Well, I worked for a guy that in radio in the 70s. It wasn't special. It was spatial.
Spatial?
Like spatial.
Oh, like I was going to say spatial. Yeah.
And,
the church lady having a spasm.
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
oh my
it was
God.
Weird, you know.
Ooh. Does water regulate the Earth's temperature?
Yes.
Yeah.
Consensus? Yes. It does, yes. It's a natural insulator is what Ted's noting here. So it helps usually cool or keeps from excessive cold.
Well, until we burn off.
Probably, I was going to say until.
Probably helps keep the radiant heat in. It can bounce off the surface.
That's true. Maybe that's it. How long can a person live without.
Like a warm blanket.
Oh, that's true. Oh. How long can a person live without food?
Much longer than water.
Yeah. That is true.
Like
that
10
is
days.
Too true.
I think it was longer than that.
Actually,
I would say
I'm surprised.
3 months.
I'd say
3 months.
Maybe a month.
A month. It says about a month is how long a person can live without food. But What's it, Dad? No.
Isn't your body like 60 or 70% water?
Yes, it is. Good thought. There you go.
I think it's 90.
Yeah. I think
but how long can a person live without water?
3 days.
Well,
3 days.
This is weird.
Not as long as TV.
This answer says approximately 1 week, depending upon conditions. I'd go with the 3 day thing. That's what they taught us in Girl Scouts.
Oh, if it's very hot out, you would perspire more and lose water faster.
Well, what do you call this? The
like
beef jerky
sticks.
But you're right. It would depend on where you were.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
In Phoenix, it's not going to be a week. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
that.
I was going to say. Yeah, like whoa.
Or if you're maybe retaining water,
or like if you're in the Amazon or something. Yeah, something you're going to die in an hour if you don't have.
That's what I mean, yeah, but a week, that just seems like a little much. Okay. How much water is recommended for daily consumption to maintain good health?
64 ounces.
Eight glasses.
Yeah. 8 glasses of 8 ounces, yeah.
Yes, but he said it should come from direct water, not from food, that some people believe because there's water in food that you should not have to drink that amount of water, which I think that's pretty weird. How much water does a birch tree give off per day in evaporation? This is an amazing figure.
100 gallons.
That's a little high, but you're in the range.
80?
A little bit high still?
70.
70. 70 gallons of evaporation. That's amazing.
I have to make
me.
Fun of the guessing game because, you know, it's a guessing game.
It is a guessing game, but I don't know.
There's quite a bit.
Totally
that means
shocked.
It must be taking in quite a bit of water.
I mean, 70 gallons of water is like an enormous amount of water.
And birch is like a harder wood, right?
That's what I mean. That's what I'm thinking. It's not like a soft wood.
It's not like poplar or something.
Right.
You put your finger through
it. So this is like a hard wood.
Maybe that's why it's so hard because there's so much.
It must be.
Would that be
moisture evaporated that hardens the, I don't know, just a guess.
That is so interesting. How much water does an acre of corn give off per day in evaporation? And this is, again, done in gallons.
Well, let's analyze
this. Let's do this.
How much does one stalk give off multiplied by the number of stalks you could fit in an acre? I would say 24 gallons.
No, way low.
120, back to my original guess?
Way low.
2,400.
Still low.
What did I guess last time? 4,900?
4,000 gallons.
Oh, not even close.
An acre of corn? Am I missing something
no,
here?
No, I don't think
I've
so.
I've seen cornfields my whole life in the thumb of Michigan. I never knew this. It's like something.
It's giving off 4,000 gallons in evaporation.
In evaporation.
Well, you do just soap yourself up.
I was going to say, like, why did we dig a new well? I mean, why? Why did we do that?
Because the evaporation is...
If you
have a whole acre of corn, right? I mean, the evaporation for any one plant is going to be pretty small.
If you divide that by the number of corn stalks, then per corn stalk, it's probably going to
be. In an acre.
I have no idea.
I can't even begin to do that calculation.
And think how watery corn is.
That's true. That's true. Maybe that's it. Because there is a lot of. You got smart brains.
Because that's how popcorn works, right?
That's right. And why we think about corn, let's take a break. But you're right, that's true.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Indeed, that's right. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, in fact, the very chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, pleasure to be here, as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
George, are you saved?
What makes you think that's any of your business?
You're good.
Now, see?
I'm telling you how pros
there
the
goes. It paralyzes all powers of retort.
It does.
Do it,
that's
George.
Right. Bang. That's it.
How to handle bad questions.
What a guy.
That's good.
And that voice you just heard, sitting to George's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Directress, I guess that's the right word,
whoa,
isn't it? Or, well, the person who runs the Learning Center.
Top chick.
Yeah, top chick.
Top chick.
Yeah.
There we go.
Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello, Kathy.
Tough chick, too.
Yeah, well.
No, but, you know, there is a story that reminded me of that exchange with Kathy. That Dwight L. Moody was a big revivalist. Late 19th century. And he did walk up to a person on the street and asked him if he was saved one time. And the man said, "It's none of your business." And he said, "Oh, yes, it is." And the man said to him, "You must be Dwight L. Moody."
That's good.
Oh, dear. That's wonderful.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from March 2006.
featuring the late Professor Kathy Bush as moderator. Matt Mayo and the current ATP panelists will return next week to kick off a brand new season of Ask the Professor. So send us your questions today.
And we are back with questions from Ted Mayer, wherever he's from, and they're questions about water.
And some CCR.
And yeah, which CCR is very, there. Very nice. So let me ask everybody, because we're heading out to spring break, what are you going to do on spring break?
I'll be coming into work.
You and I will. You got any big plans, Jerry? Are you just going to have to be rocking in the free world?
Tomorrow it's Ann Arbor. Tuesday's Pittsburgh.
Oh, my
Thursday,
goodness.
Red Wings. And Saturday, Red Wings. And Sunday, it's CSTV, the College Hockey Association final. So I'm really busy. That's
okay.
What I'm trying to get. I was in here photocopying, getting everything ready.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm Barry.
And after you read all of Socrates all 80 times,
then I have to think about judicial review and proofs.
We got to see a movie this week, dog. Okay, we'll talk about that. Okay.
Oh, call me. The smoking movie is coming out. Thank you for smoking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do have to go see that.
But you have school again Monday, don't you?
Yeah.
You're not on holidays. Oh, I'm sorry, Dylan.
You're not working.
I did. You're right. Very fair. Very fair.
And all that other good stuff.
I'll be working, and you'll be in school.
Okay, what were the first water pipes?
What?
The first water pipes that would bring water in, made from in the United States?
Oh, in the United States.
What they made from?
Yeah, what they made of, the water pipes.
So I was thinking the Romans would have made the first ones, and they would be clay or something.
Or aqueduct. No, this is really kind of interesting. Actually,
some kind of weird
scary.
Wood thing.
It is a weird wood thing. You got it, Jer.
Yeah,
fire charred logs. So wouldn't it kind of pick up, like, the carbon and
the
stuff
charcoal
from that?
Thing, yeah.
I mean,
well, that's how the Culligan man got his start.
Well, water pipes, I think, would be
whichever
coming
way,
in,
yeah.
I guess. No. But water,
the water in Michigan is really hard, isn't it?
Some
lots
places
of chemicals.
Quite.
Some
yeah,
places.
Some places very, very hard.
Nothing like Wyoming.
I was going to say,
I could get that soap to lather.
Thank you.
King Kong could make that soap lather.
I was
going
to say, if you better have like 4 bars of soap to take a bath out there, forget it.
Wow.
You know, especially if you're camping.
That was at camping. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
What
I've never
is
seen
in
water.
This water? You know, like no bubbles. You use like half a thing of container of shampoo on your head kind of thing. Like, what's going on here?
Can't they make a product that works better with that water?
Do they? I don't know. When you're camping, you're not talking about
like Culligan treatment stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Those treatments. Those little pellets and stuff.
Going on the road, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, going camping, I never really thought about
it. And here, like when I go to fill up my coffee maker at night, because it has to be ready in the morning when I get up,
yeah,
I know there'll be this white sort of film.
Not for me.
Water.
Really?
I drink tea, so I guess
is that limestone?
I don't know.
Calcium?
Yeah. Okay. I go to Tim's. I have no idea.
How many miles of pipes and aqueducts are in the U.S. and Canada?
A lot.
A lot.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty hard. Approximately 1 million miles of aqueduct or pipeline, enough to circle the Earth 40 times. Doesn't that seem, Canada, big country, so are we. That seems pretty enormous, but
blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
Come on, hockey night, Canada's back on the air tonight.
Okay, well, back
tomorrow.
To more practical
things.
Yeah,
but nobody goes out for Canadian food now, do they?
That's right. Except there is a restaurant that opened in Los Angeles where they serve nothing but Canadian cuisine.
Really? What exactly do they serve there?
Beck bacon.
Beck bacon.
A lot of dishes that have Molsons in it and molasses and things. How much water do you use to flush a toilet?
1.5 gallons.
And the new ones?
Well, the new ones, obviously.
5 gallons on the old ones?
It is 5 gallons on the old ones, yeah.
That depends on how many times you flush.
Well,
and there
are
the vacuum-assisted ones that will, you know, take your shirt off.
Yeah, thank you.
Careful.
I was going to say,
that's what my brother said when we were in New York.
Be very careful. How much water is used in the average shower in the U.S.?
50 gallons.
Too high.
That is a little high.
48?
Well, she says 20 to 40.
Okay.
He said, excuse me.
Depending on the shower.
Well, I was going to say, hasn't that been a big thing, too, about the different types of shower heads? And
the water saver things.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you got the short haircut, it didn't take that long.
Thank you. I was going to say,
that long hair.
By the way, I can fix that.
I don't feel like it.
Okay.
Don't let it near your hair.
How much water is used to brush your teeth daily?
1 gallon.
Actually, she listed a little bit higher.
Wow. Well,
I'm trying to think.
The water just trickles for me.
I was going to say.
1.1 gallons?
She's saying 2 gallons. He's saying, Ted is saying 2 gallons.
No,
well, the assumption must be that you're letting your
water running, and you're brushing for 3 minutes.
Not in our house, man. My dad used to blow his top about running water.
I leave it on, but it's just trickling out.
Okay. Yeah, but I've never had the water going like full blast when I brush my teeth.
Once I shut the water off until I'm done brushing my
teeth. Thank you. Exactly.
That's how we learned it. You know, is it like you leave the lights on?
Yeah, that's right. Lights on. It put Big J like into like cardiac arrest universe.
Because the energy crisis in the 70s, I remember the lights.
Oh, the lights especially. Oh, you better not. That's why up north he gave all of us a flashlight at night. You don't have to turn all those lights. Use that flashlight. And he's, okay, Dad.
Well, I gave my dad once one of those cards. He didn't quite get it initially, but it was like, what do you think I am? The electric company? You know, it was one of those things. Uh-huh. Like it was like three things that he always said about wasting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, happy birthday, old man, or something.
Yeah, but do you think of the electric? Boy, I must have heard that like ad nauseum growing up. But yeah, 2 gallons of water.
Water
department. I mean, if I brush my teeth three times a day.
Seems quite a bit. Yeah.
I'm just thinking.
Gotta let it run. I mean, I don't know. I don't. I mean,
okay, and to contrast to this answer, how much water is used on the average in an automatic dishwasher?
Not enough.
No,
in mine.
That's too much.
This is saying 2 gallons again.
I was going to say no.
That's what I'm thinking.
Too low.
Really?
It has to be low.
I think they recycle the water, though, in various stages. You know, like the car wash or something. I mean, initially, they probably have a wave of water that goes through a few times and rinses it. Then they get rid of that water and bring in some new water. You know,
okay. That could be it.
I get it's a science question, which I'm not qualified to answer.
Yeah, but wow. And so versus this, how much water is used on an average to hand wash your dishes?
Oh,
a lot.
Yeah, well, and see, that makes sense to me.
I would say 12 gallons.
15 gallons?
20 gallons.
Closer.
It's closer. You're right, Dylan. It's closer. He got that one.
You fill your sink, turn the water off.
Well, that's what I'm... And are they thinking that people are just running water to rinse them? Is that what they're...
I mean, it depends on how good your dishwasher is. Because if you have a dishwasher that's not very good, you usually do have to rinse...
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, I didn't think about that.
That's how I was trained to do it.
Okay, so you would use the same amount of water on average to brush your teeth and for an automatic dishwasher. That just makes no sense to me. Unless they got a really funky, nasty dishwasher in their home.
Or you'd have to have the water on when you're brushing your teeth at full pressure for the entire time. I mean, that's the only way.
And you'd also have to have like a major obsessive compulsive disorder going on at the same time.
You have to be like monk or something.
Yeah, get some help, honey. Okay. How many community public water supply systems are there in the U.S.? Yeah, that's, I know.
A lot.
Yeah, it is. It's 58,900 is what's listed here. But this is what's really...
That was my next guess.
But here's what's interesting. How much water would these utilities produce daily? And this is an astronomical figure of water. We must waste a lot of water in the U.S.
I'm sure we do.
It's done in gallons, and it's done in billions of gallons. Wow.
3 billion gallons.
How about $34 billion is what's listed here. So $34 billion gallons of water produced by 58,900 utility companies in the U.S. That... just seems like, I mean, okay, well, washing your clothes, flushing your toilet, brushing your teeth like obsessive, I mean, you know.
Cooling down the reactor in your backyard.
I was going to say, like, go Jerry. I mean, you know, even if you washed your car every day or something.
Well, in the Pacific Northwest, that's why we had such a surplus of cheap electric power for so long.
Would sell it to other
parts of the country.
That's how Quebec makes a ton of money, electric supply to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like a huge thing in that way. Drinking water is a manufactured product. True or false?
It depends on what you mean by drinking water and manufacturing.
Yeah, they claim here true, and I'm wondering if they're thinking about like Florida, you know, using fluoride.
If they mean
treated water.
Thinking,
yeah.
Like, what are we assembling here? My criteria is like, well, what are we putting together to make?
Well, manufacturing, you take a raw product.
Yeah, and you.
Do something to it.
Change it.
You manipulate it.
Water, you're just adding.
Like, I mean, some people purify it or filtering.
Putting that obnoxious label on it.
Exactly. You know, something that way. That's why I love ABSOPURE. It's just bottled water, okay? Although, I remember Ken Cotter, who most of us know, when he was in Iceland, he went into a shop and asked for bottled water, and this poor girl, their English there is exquisite, so it's not a language issue, could not understand what he was talking about. That the water there is so pure.
What would you drink bottled water for?
That she kept saying, but you mean, is it flavored water? And he kept saying, no, it's just water, cold water. And she kept pointing over to this drinking fountain. He goes, no, I want it in a bottle. And she said, but why? She could not understand the concept of a bottled water. It just didn't sink into the Icelandic psyche that way?
It's a deep philosophical question.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. How much water does the individual person in the U.S. use daily? And this is, again, in gallons.
I think we had this one other time. 110 gallons.
No, it's a little higher than that. Again,
130?
138. Yeah, I'll give it to you. Yeah.
Recall this
but
question.
Doesn't that seem like a lot of water again?
It does. I
tell you
understand.
What, if we all went home and looked at our water bill,
yeah,
you know,
that's it.
None of
you're
this
right.
is going to add up, I got
it
a feeling.
Can't be.
It can't be.
Even if you watered your lawn like nonstop, I'm thinking, how much water would you
yeah,
that's, use?
That takes the most, I would imagine.
Of all the Earth's water, how much of it is ocean or sea water?
Maybe I would say 92%.
Actually, it's a little low.
98%?
97%.
Wow.
97%. How much of the world's water is frozen and therefore unusable?
Well, it can't be 90%.
No, it isn't.
97.
Mm-mm, it's a very small amount, actually. And probably
3%.
Getting smaller. Yeah, it is 3%.
Okay. Oh.
And think now with global warming, I wonder if that figure, how much of that is changing. How much of the Earth's water is suitable without treatment as drinking water?
2%.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You hit it right on the nose, 2%. That's a little scary.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, some of it isn't necessarily pollution. It would be salt, right? I mean,
yeah.
of ocean,
mm-hmm.
right.
you know.
That would be the biggest thing
would
be the salt, I think.
Would it be possible to drink water that was part of the dinosaur era, Paleozoic times?
No.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you wouldn't be.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I think
yes,
so.
To have a melting glacier.
Well, I mean, again, and that would take me to that Icelandic thing. And wouldn't that have been like totally pure water?
That would have been
the best. Wouldn't be polluted.
Yeah, I mean, that just doesn't make much sense to me. What does it cost to operate water systems in the United States on an annual basis? So what produces those?
Oh, billions, I'm sure.
It is billions. It is billions.
Let's see, we have 58,000 places produce 34 billion gallons per day.
It's $3.5 billion, which again strikes me as a lot of money.
I hated story problems.
I know. That was one thing with story problems that got on my nerve. How much does 1 gallon of water weigh?
It weighs probably about 5 pounds, yeah.
Actually, a little more
Eight
than
pounds.
That. 8.34 pounds. This unit was named after a French engineer who developed a telegraph code more popular than the Morse code. Unfortunately, the unit is not standardized, but it is traditionally represented by 1 bit per second of transmission for computer modems. What is this unit named? So represented by 1 bit per second of transmission.
It's not a baud.
Yes.
Oh. All right, cool.
This word of German origin refers to a structure so integrated that it is more than the sum of its parts.
Gestalt.
Yes, indeed. And then finally, what deity's name means auspicious one? He is usually depicted with a blue neck around which is a garland of skulls or a serpent. This Hindu deity has 3 eyes.
Not Kali.
Not Kali, no.
Mm-hmm. I'm out of Hindu deities.
Yeah, Kali and Ganesh were the two I knew.
Yeah. Mm-mm. It's Shiva.
Oh.
So we're going to have to stop right now. So let me thank Professor Oljar.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Professor Kurt Singer.
Survivor of water torture from the 70s.
Absolutely. I mean. And Professor Dylan Kurt Singer.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And Professor Baggio.
Have a wonderful week.
As the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Communication Studies Studios at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, witnessed, directed, and ably guided by Michael Jason. Our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's go, Red Wings!
Matt Mayo and the current panel of professors are back next week with the start of a brand new season of Ask the Professor. So please plan to join us.